Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
That sounds better. Maybe one more time. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, that went down. Anyway. Well, we're here today to talk about the power of God. So we did the Word. We did the trilogy in the trilogy of the Word. And then we did a trilogy in the trilogy of presence. And now we're on the second episode of The Power. I don't know how these things work. I never watch trilogies. I usually watch the third one first. So for me, this is the first one. Yay. Okay, so for a free fizzer today, when I get this thing to work. Pastor Mark. It must be my good looks. Okay, so, all right, so let's say it together. We see lives, communities, and societies transformed through discipleship in the Word, presence, and the power of God. Yeah. Cool. Thank you, guys. Numbers fizzles, unfortunately. All right, so part one, we discussed SPEC. Does anybody remember what SPEC stands for? You must look for sin to avoid, promise to claim, example to follow, command to obey, and knowledge to gain. And then last trilogy, oh my gosh, the presence, we did about the presence of God, and we spoke about senses, sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell, and how we can. Hannah spoke about worship and presence, and that was awesome. And then last week, if you weren't here, you missed out. Pastor Mark was giving out Kit Kats, firstly, which was more better than fizzes. That was very important to remember. And then we spoke about our first episode in the new trilogy, because it's episodes to me, guys. I don't care what you'll say, it's episodes. So the first episode was on the power. We discussed salvation, deliverance, healing, miraculous, and disciple making. So this week, we are continuing on the power, but we're going to experience God's power. Hoo-ha! Everybody go, hoo-ha!
Hoo-ha.
Yeah. So now, we're going to get into today's message. So everybody remembers last week we spoke about Elisha, who was the predecessor or the successor of Elijah. Somebody give me the answer. The success. Thank you, Pastor Mark. He was the successor of Elijah. But today we're going to speak about his mentor, Elijah. So somewhere in the scriptures, there is a reference here, where Elijah went up against the prophets of Baal. And it was about whose God is greater, right? So he said to them, okay, you go first. You can have the whole day. And you can pray to your God to bring down fire from heaven. And then he said, okay, I'll talk to my God. I'll even put water on my sacrifice, because water and flame don't go. And my God will, you know, bring down fire. So now I'm going to show you a little bit of a video on that. So we just wanted to show you just a little bit of clip of God's power and how miraculous it is. I mean, imagine you were praying the whole day from the morning to night and your gods didn't rock up. And then he puts water on his sacrifice and then God rocks up and infuses it with fire. So now we're going to, before we're going into the rest of the message, we're going to talk about how we can limit God's power in our lives. And the first point we want to bring up, well, I want to talk to you today is about fear. And fear limits God. So when we're afraid of, you know, what God, you know, what we, our friends think, or fear of failure, or there's many different categories of fear, we limit God's power. So, you know, for example, God says, don't worry, I'll give you the money to go to university. But instead of trusting God, you start fearing like, ish, my mother works, my father works, my mother doesn't work, we've got two other kids, you know, when I break down their salary, because you clearly know all the figures in your mind, you know, you work it out, you can see that, you know, they're struggling to make things meet now, and they can't, but all God asked you to do was trust him, you know, for him to come through. But you start thinking about, will I pass? Am I going to get enough Mark's getting to university, I'm gonna pass Afrikaans. You know, you start thinking about these things, but all God said was, trust me. But instead of trusting him, you've put in all these roadblocks, self-made roadblocks, by the fear, either fears that are naturally there, that are actually there, physically, there are facts to show that that is a genuine fear, or fears in your mind, you know, things that you make up. But we need to remove that. We need to, and it's normal to have worry or fear, but when you have worry or when you have fear, you need to pray. Like, Lord, I know that I'm fearing X, Y, and Z, but I put this in your hands. And leave it in God's hands. Don't go back and pull it out, you know, re-look at it. Trust God that what he says he'll do, he'll do. And his power will come through for you. Okay? So just talking about this, Matthew 14:25-31. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come onto the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But then he saw the wind, he was afraid, and began to sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" So here's a perfect example of a moment where Peter trusted God. So he was already walking in the water. He wasn't still in the boat. He was walking on water. Anybody got it right so far? No, right. So walking on the water. And he's like, "Ooh, I'm walking on water." Then he sinks because his eyes weren't focused on God. They were focused on his surroundings. So, and it was true, he was walking on water, but he was supposed to say, "Sure, I'm walking more," you know? But instead, he looked at his circumstances. Okay. So, a famous missionary, William Carey, once said, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." So let us ask God to fill us and expect great things from him and attempt great things. So one, I'm expecting God to take me through university or through high school. Woo-ah! And secondly, when he does, or when he's doing it, I'm going to testify to my friends so they can also trust and believe in God that he can take them through, right? Okay, a second thing that keeps us away from God is unbelief. Last week, Pastor Mark said that there was a town where Jesus could not do any miracles because of their unbelief. So imagine how much unbelief those people had. Not even half a mustard seed of faith, right? He couldn't even walk and somebody touches him, you know? That's how the unbelievers were, full. So we don't have unbelief in God. So, I mean, I know, right? I limit God all the time because clearly in my mind, I can do all things, like, by my own strength. That's me. That's like, I'm like a control freak, so all things will work out according to my plan. Clearly, God has shown me more than one time. If I don't trust him and I don't believe in him, it's not really going to work. And you know, sometimes God is funny, yeah? He's got a sense of humor. He'll give you your plan. You're working your plan. Next thing, a sinkhole comes, you drop in the sinkhole, and you're like, ish, plan C didn't even cater for a sinkhole. Yes. And you're forced to believe. But why must you go through the extreme first? Huh? Why must you be an unbeliever? You must be like Paul, put scales on your eyes. You must get somebody to pray for you before you believe. Why don't you just believe? You know? So Ephesians 3:20 says, with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. So here's an example. My husband, well, okay, I'm going to censor this one, but my husband said to me, he'll like kiss me if he could get tickets to Jeremy Clarkson on Friday. So I look at him, I'm like, you know what, nah? You've got chances. I've got no money to even take you to KFC. You want to go to Jeremy Clarkson. By midday that day, this Friday, my friend phones me. She's like, I've got 2 tickets to Jeremy Clarkson and we don't want to go. Don't you want to go? I'm like, well, I'm going to youth, but TK can go. So, and he went. And when he looked at the price of the tickets, it was R1,000 a ticket. Yeah? That's the belief he has. I don't have such, I need to grab hold onto my husband's faith sometimes. But look how God gave him what he wanted. So things we can, he gives us more than what we can ask or imagine. No? So most probably if he imagined that he'd be in the car with Jeremy Clarkson, he would have gotten there too, but clearly he limited God, right? And then the third one is disobedience. How many times has God told you to give that lost 50 rand and you didn't? I've done that a lot of times. And that's a clear sign of disobedience. You can be an obedient child. You can be saved. You can be doing all the things right. But if you're not listening when God says do X, that's still seen as disobedience. Right? So, John 14, verse 12. Whoever believes in me will do the same things that I do. They will even do greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. So, all it takes is being obedient. If those guys didn't, when Mary said to the people at the wedding, just listen to what he says. Me, I'm a skeptical person. I don't believe, if I can't see it in the natural, it's never going to happen for me. So when, if I was with Jesus and he told me, pour the water in the barrels, and then I must just scoop it out and it's wine, I'll be like, what's in the barrel? That's me. All God's asking for you is to put the water in the barrel and then scoop it out. Don't ask questions. Don't ask why. Just do. Yeah? You know, I'm like that with my mother. My mother said, cut the onions. Why? Chop the tomato. Why? What we making? She didn't tell me what we're making. She told me to chop the onions. In the same way, when God tells you to do something, you must do it. Agreed? So, today, in obedience to God, we are going to have 5 stations, and we're going to do something different. We're going to experience God's power. So, this is the end of me standing here and you sitting there. We're going to do something about it. Correct? Correct. Okay. So, as I discuss each station, I'm going to ask for one of the adult leaders assigned to that station to come up and give us a testimony. Okay. You know who you are. I don't think I remember y'all's names, but that's just pregnancy. So the first station is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Hannes and Karin.
We tag team because we can. Awesome. Cool. So, Genevieve asked if we can just maybe share a little bit about our testimony, our story, and maybe around what God did and how we experienced this power, specifically around sort of when the Holy Spirit filled us, or when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, people sometimes refer to it as the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Have you guys heard of that before? Heard of that? Cool. So, let me just tell you my story and how that happened. So, I was about, how old were we, 16? I think we were about 16. And we went to a service at it was actually down at Rhema, and there was a guy called Tim Story. And he was basically like a preacher and an evangelist, and it was really cool, and God did cool stuff that evening, and we saw, and it was really one of the first times in my life where I really experienced God's power. And when I spoke about God's presence, really tangibly experiencing his presence, and also seeing around us how God was working. There was people getting healed and all kinds of cool stuff happening. And towards the end of the service, they asked if there was anybody that has never received the Holy Spirit as a gift. And I was like, actually, I haven't received that. I mean, I can see God's power. I've experienced him, but nobody's ever prayed for me to actually be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we went to the front, and we went into a little room, and there was a whole bunch of people. And they explained to us how, you know, how even if you are saved, after you're saved, God promised his Holy Spirit. And in the New Testament, we see on a number of different occasions how believers were prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened is they received power, and usually something happened. There was some kind of outward thing that happened. And one of the things that often happened is people started praying in tongues, in different tongues, either a recognizable language or a heavenly language. Or there would be people start prophesying, or there would be miracles that took place. And that's really because of God's power. And if you take it back, you know, to what Jesus said, he said you'd receive power from on high to be witness. And somebody will probably speak about that a little bit later. Anyway, so they prayed for us. And what happened is we just, just experienced the touch of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that happened to me is I started speaking in a different language that I couldn't speak before, heavenly language, since that day. And there was really a sign of that. And since that day, I've really experienced God's power in my life. God's power to overcome difficult situations. Sometimes his boldness to testify and do the right thing. Or sometimes his power in a more tangible way, to have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for somebody, and really see his gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, also activated in my life. So that is my story.
Okay, so I was at that same night, and when they made that call, if anybody wants to go to the front, I saw, Hannes is going, and some of our other friends are going. I better go. I don't want to miss out on anything. And in the little room, they were praying for us and explained, obviously, the biblical relevance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I saw what was happening to Hannes in front of me and to my other friends, but I didn't experience anything. And I left that night feeling like I've missed out on something big. So I started seeking God, like, earnestly about this, to an extent that one day I just went down to my parents and like one of the rooms in our house, and I closed all the doors and I sat with God and I said, I'm not leaving this room until I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's just amazing. There on my own, God met me, and I also got a language, a heavenly language. And like little bits by little bits, like you gain confidence in it, like words that you don't even understand, or when you don't have earthly words to say, you just pray in this language that is a Holy Spirit language that gives you courage. Yeah.
So the next station is, and when we've gone through the stations, we'll talk about how they work, is deliverance, which I know is Debbie.
I've had an awesome opportunity to share with a young lady for about 7 months now who was a Satanist. She was in a coven. They had to wear the cloaks. They had the pentagrams. They sacrificed animals. And one day she phoned me and she said, you know what, God told me I need to contact you. And she's in the UK, she's not here, and she just said, I really need help. I'm not supposed to be here. I know that God's bigger and that God wants me for himself, and that's what I'm doing is wrong. And I've walked this walk with her. She tried to commit suicide, and I've been there. And about a month ago, she went to the church. She's been seeing a pastor who's been praying for her, but she keeps running out because she just can't. Satan won't let her, didn't want her to be set free. And about a month ago, I prayed and I fasted for her, and she phoned me to say that she was set free and she had communion, which is huge. If you're a Satanist and you take communion, that means that you're set free, and she's set free today. So we serve a really awesome and powerful God.
Amen. And now we're going on to the healing station. See how these people know their place? Like, I don't even call them up.
How's it, guys? So I got to share a testimony about healing. It's not because I want to become a doctor. No, I'm joking. I used to love playing. I still do. I love praying for people who are sick or, like, hurting and stuff. I know me, myself, you can ask my family, when I get sick, I don't take medicine. I know I should, but I don't. So I love praying for people who are sick, and they usually didn't get healed, I won't lie, but it just increased my faith. And I remember the one time I prayed for a friend, and he had like a spine injury, and he fell down while we were playing ring ball. And he was looking really bad, and I was like, can I pray for you? So I prayed for him. I went home, and then I was like, yo, God, when are these people going to get healed? I've been praying so much. And I was like, at that point, you know, just, I don't know if I can do this. And that guy sent me a message. He's like, hey, thank you for praying for me. And thank you. I feel much better. I don't know what happened. And I was like, you know, just that God loves, he has good timing. I don't know. He times it perfectly. Like, And I just also learned there that it's not just about healing on the outside and, you know, physical. It's also healing of the heart. God has taught me a lot about that, that healing the heart and the mind is also very important. And he's doing that all the time. So.
Amen. Now we talk about the station of miracles.
So I grew up in this church that taught me that miracles stopped the moment that the Bible was written. And that there's no more miracles today because the perfect had come. So we had the Bible, we didn't need miracles. And I remember one day we had this group of youth workers, and they were getting ready. I was taking them to a high school where they could do stuff in the assembly, and we knew God was going to work in a powerful way. And as we left the church, they had packed the combi, and someone had locked their keys in the combi. And this was like 7:30, and assembly was at 8:00, and no one was willing to break the window. And I just prayed and said, Lord, we need to get to that school. This is an attack of the evil one. Could you show your miraculous power? I drove a little Ford Escort, twin-choke Weber carburetor with a free-flow power thrust exhaust. It was the best car in Durban. And I had a Ford Escort key in my hand. And this was a Toyota Hilux. I said, Lord, let this key work. And I put it in the lock, turned it, the doors popped open, and we went to the school. I tried, I kid you not, for the whole rest of that week to get my Ford key to work again. It did not work one more time. Even today, whenever I see a Toyota Hilux, I go, get a Ford key and try and turn it. It was the power of God in a miracle because we trusted him and believed that he wanted to do something really great and awesome.
Amen. And then the second last station, witnessing. But Tabile is going to go to the healing station first.
Good morning, everyone. I do have flu. My testimony about witnessing, I had this friend in high school. Well, she was a family friend. My mom was friends with her dad, and our brothers were best friends. We happened to go to the same high school. And she wasn't saved. Her family wasn't saved. And she would do wrong things all the time. She was one of those girls who were pretty, and they were the it girls in school. And I used to pray for her a lot. And I used to tell her about God. I used to try my level best to live a life, a godly life, in front of her. And sometime later, after university, she accepted Christ, started going to church, married one of my friends, and today, who's also a Christian, they met at church, and today, she's still going strong, and all that I need to say to you guys is that, trust God. It may not happen now, but God will do the work. If you plant that seed and you tell someone about Christ, God will do the work. Yeah, that's my testimony.
Thanks, Tabile. So before I go to the next slide, how the stations are going to work, we're going to have what I call, back in my church, altar calls. Do they have altar calls? Do they call them altar calls downstairs? Okay, altar calls, right. So first we're going to pray for you're classified as teenagers, right? Yeah. Young teenagers who would like to pray for others in this specific station. So witnessing, miracles, healing, deliverance, you know, spirit of baptism. You're never too young to experience God's power and minister to others, yeah? So we're going to do that first, and then after we've done that, we're going to open it up to those who need, like Tabile, healing, and the teens that we've just prayed for with the adult leaders will pray for Tabile in the healing station, or if you need deliverance, we'll pray for you in the deliverance station. Now, people, don't get scared of the deliverance station. Right? Debbie gave a good testimony about a very big deliverance moment. But for example, when I was in Standard 6, I attempted suicide. I was on my deathbed, almost dying. And I cried out to the Lord, and he delivered me. But the next year, I still had suicidal tendencies, is the only way to put it in normal words. And it was until I went to a youth camp, and got prayed for, did that stop. And that's what we call deliverance, because God set me free from the spirit of suicide. So If you've got something in your life that you feel that God needs to set you free from, whether it be smoking or, you know, behavior or something, and it's not going to be an open discussion, but you can go to that station. But what I'm saying is, don't be scared. God is also here to set us free, okay? So now, and then we also have a communion station. So this is voluntarily. It's just about thanking God for what he's done, dying on the cross. You know, by his stripes we were healed. You know, his blood sets us free. His blood protects us and heals us, you know. And if you feel that you want to have that sober moment and, you know, go through the communion, you are willing to. There's bread, there's wine. You can have communion. Okay, so, yes, question. You can go to more than one station. But first call up now, as the music kicks in, is for you, for those who want to pray. So if Hannah wants to pray for people to get healed, you go to that station. That's the first calling. Second time you do a call up is for you if you feel you need healing. Okay? All clear? Any other questions? So we still have a few stations going on, but we've also run out of time. So in the meantime, we're just going to do a final prayer. If the Holy Spirit allows us to. Next week, Sunday, is Celebration Sunday. And I was just saying to Pastor Mark that I feel that God's power is so strong that there will be a lot of testimonies coming out of y'all's lives or how you've prayed for others. And we're going to open next week Sunday for testimonies about what God has done for you or what, you know, God has led you to do during the week. So come prepared to share what God has done. And as the Sunday, somebody will be picking on you. So make sure you have a testimony. Okay. So who felt that God really touched them today? By show of hands. That's good. Okay, I'm going to ask Trent to come close for us in prayer.
Dear Lord God, I thank you that we're all here today, and thank you that we could come and witness you firsthand, Lord God, and witness your miracles and your blessings that the Holy Spirit has given to us, Lord God. Lord, may we leave with knowing of you and knowledge of what we can do through you, Lord God. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with us in this week and through exams, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, guys, I just sense two things. One, God has given a lot of people words of knowledge for other people. I know it's not one of the stations, but I feel it. But I also feel like there's fear, you know, you think maybe it's you're schizophrenic and it's in your mind. But God is just saying, you know, be obedient, even if it's one word, be obedient. And listen to what he's saying. And also I feel like the spirit of joy is heavily amongst you. Like you'll just want to laugh for no reason. Don't stop that. No, seriously. I just honestly feel it. And believe me, I have had the spirit of joy till my stomach was sore. I was like rolling on the stage. You really don't want that. That's funny. So, and then somebody taped it. So going out this week, you know, pray for others. If you see that word of knowledge, if it's just that Sarah, God loves you, you won't believe the tears that will come out of a person's eyes from just that statement. So go out there and don't be feared. Okay, thanks guys.